stand with me for the reading of the word. We're reading from Luke chapter 2, 21 through 38. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the customs of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that it will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can take a seat. Christ sits on his throne. Say it with me. Christ sits on his throne. Amen. It's commonly said that the founding prime minister of Singapore observed, societies flourish when leadership is both authoritative yet deeply committed to the goodness of the people. A benevolent dictatorship, he called it. History shows how rare that is, if at all even possible. Nations function well for a time, but often at great cost to justice and compassion, with many being abused, lives lost, to see the success of a, quote, good nation. As I was thinking about this, is there an analogy that makes sense to me? This is weird, I'm sorry, but as I was working, my dog was laying on the cushion next to me, right? And if I'm a dog person, if you're a dog person, you get this. If you're a cat person, flip the roles around, okay? But the domain of the home is mine, right? And I control and take care of the dogs, they have no doubt in their mind that they're going to get fed. If we ran out of money and could not feed them and we had to give them away, they would go, "Wow, this must just be for my good, because my master loves me so dearly." I mean, there's something so special about coming home and the dogs are the first ones to greet you and say hi, while the rest of your family's reading or watching TV. Hey. But the dogs are there like, the master's home. And you get why the cat and homeowner roles have to be flipped in that conversation. Cat says, welcome to my home. But even in those kind of basic relationships, we understand there's something instinctive about it, that life works best when there's an authority who is controlling and caring and moving things forward, but that goodness is coming from that authority. A place where we can flourish and be protected. A place where trust can grow and we can be healed. That's an instinctive longing we all have. And I think what we see in our Savior Christ is the fulfillment of that deep hope. That the salvation of God is found in Christ. That there's a king on his throne who is good and cares deeply for us. And has nothing but benevolence and kindness flowing out from his throne. There's no abuse. It's justice and righteousness coming from his throne. And there's no twisting of those words. We know what those words mean. We know what love means. And love, the kind of love that we hope for, that we want to feel and experience. That's the kind of love that is coming out of our King. The good and righteous King. In Christ, we see a kingdom revealed through his presence, not a coercive king. We see a reign established through faithfulness, not in fear. In Christ, we have an authority expressed through sacrifice, not abuse. The King has arrived. Amen. The King has arrived. Amen. And his kingdom is advancing. I think with Advent, it reminds me that the kingdom of heaven is already here. It's weird because we keep doing these candle lighting things every week. We light the candle and we talk about it like we're anticipating the birth of Jesus, right? I've got great news. He has been born. It was some time ago, actually. You know, the reason we do this is because one day that king will return. And all of those promises that were being fulfilled in the birth of Christ will come to their conclusion in the return of him. It's like there's this commencement at the birth of Jesus. And the culmination of his kingdom will make its way when he returns to call us home. That's what we're doing when we light these candles. You know, we've got joy this week. There is great joy in knowing that all of this is going somewhere. That in the midst of our suffering and trouble, the challenges we face, the losses we have, even the successes and the beauties of our life, there is great joy that there is a purpose for all of this. We're not floating on a ball in space randomly. This wasn't a matter of luck, right? That there is intention behind our life. And that is a great joy. That's the kind of thing you can latch your hope onto. Because there is something worth living for. And I tell you, friends, that thing is the King. The King who sits on his throne. is here, and we are in his kingdom. You are his people. What a beautiful, great, joyful hope. I love it with Simeon and Anna. We're not really just seeing their prayers be answered. It's like the Lord had planned for them to be in this moment in time, and he had burdened them that one day they would see the Messiah. And so they just waited in the temple, waited for the Messiah to come. I mean, we don't really know how old Anna was. They give us a number, 84, but was she married 7 years, which would have put her at 14 to 15? So was she 21? I mean, was she over 100? Anna might have been very old. I mean, the scripture says she was very old. I'd say 84 is not very old. Amen? But they got to be there at the commencement. They got to see the moment when the kingdom of heaven revealed itself in the Christ. Can you imagine the joy that they had? I mean, Anna's out there evangelizing. The kingdom's coming. The salvation is here. Isaiah named these hopes peace among nations, harmony in all creation, a world ordered by righteousness and faithfulness. And Simeon and Anna, knowing these scriptures, waiting patiently for this moment, knowing the stories, knowing the hope of the Creator, Yahweh, their God, promising, I will fulfill all the things that I have told you I will do. And that Messiah is coming. This is the kingdom that we live in, friends. Listen to this, Isaiah 2, it's 4 and 5. This is our king. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Here's another one, Isaiah 11, 4 through 6. Our king will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. That's our king. This little child is the long anticipated reign of the kingdom of God. A kingdom prepared since the foundations of the earth. All of the universe, the cosmos, has been pointing to this moment where God will reveal his face to all of humanity. A promise of a future of restoration, of peace. Oh, Simeon and Anna, they are two unbelievable characters. I love that Luke puts us such a boring paragraph, that first paragraph. It's like, Joseph and Mary are headed to the temple. Got to circumcise the baby, as is the tradition. It's in the laws. Purification rites. They got to present him to the priest. We're going to watch a scene in a little bit from Jesus of Nazareth. They don't show the circumcision scene, but they get pretty stinking close, and it's very uncomfortable. It's just not extraordinary at all. Luke just describes this as like, Joseph and Mary went to the temple, because that's what you do. And all of this happened. Isn't that so right? In the ordinary moments. It's in those, like, just where God reveals his plan. We see Simeon described as this righteous, devout prayer warrior who's just there, waiting. He senses that Holy Spirit. We have those people in our lives, the ones that are always, they're like buzzing with the Holy Spirit. You don't want to look at them in the eyes because you know they'll see your sins and they're going to call them out and you're like, ah! That's how I see Simeon. It's like, get your life right. God is coming. Okay. And the Spirit calls him to this child and picks him up. He sees the salvation of God made visible. What's interesting here, he says this, the Lord's salvation. He doesn't say my salvation. He doesn't pick the baby and go, oh, it's my salvation. I'm letting Jesus into my heart. No, this is the salvation of God for all the nations. This child will be the light of Israel to the world. Look at what God has done. My eyes have seen the Lord's salvation. And then Anna, a life marked with devotion in the temple, day and night. 84 years. A widow does nothing but spend her life pursuing the Lord. And her response is one of gratitude. Can you imagine waiting 84 years for something? I'd be pretty thankful, I think, at the end. If I have to wait in traffic for too long, the light turns red. I'm not thankful when the light turns green. I'm just mad. But she speaks out, looking toward the redemption of Israel. The first evangelist, really. The first to say, this is the Christ. Before John the Baptist, we have Anna. So I want to show us that scene. If we can turn the first, or maybe just the stage lights off. I want to show us this scene from Jesus of Nazareth. This is the Luke 2 scene where we'll see Simeon. They don't show Anna in this scene, but I think it gives us a nice visual. So let's watch this.
Rise, clothed in light. The light has come, and the glory of the Lord shines over you. For though darkness covers the earth, dark night the nations, the Lord shall shine upon you.
Come. I promise. Everything will be done the way we agreed.
Them.
Don't worry. I promise. Come.
Moshe. And the Lord
Lord said to Abraham, keep my alliance and circumcise each child born unto Israel on the eighth day of his life.
Amen. Amen.
This is the seal in flesh of the covenant between the Lord and his people. And the child shall be called His name shall be Jesus.
And the nations of the world shall march towards...
Where is he? Now I can die contented, Lord. According to thy word. I am Simeon, an old man who has waited long to see his salvation. And now my eyes have seen the child who will bring the salvation thou hast prepared before all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. And a sword shall pierce your heart.
We don't have to watch it again. The commencement of a king. Meek, humble. Listen from Matthew chapter 25. This is what Jesus says. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. All the hope, all the anticipation, it's headed somewhere and it's coming from somewhere since the very foundations of creation. Our lives and all of the grandeur and challenge all has purpose. What is this kingdom? I think too often we conflate this gospel of the kingdom with a message of personal salvation. You get your ticket punched for a one-way trip to heaven. Invite Jesus into your heart, yeah? What many of us have done. We call that the gospel. But that message is not focused on the Lord. That message is focused on you. What Simeon and Anna, they saw with their eyes, had been inspecting for their entire life, was not that this child would come to die for their sins. They saw the commencement of a king and a kingdom initiated by God himself. A child will be the ruler of this kingdom. A new nation, a nation planned for since the beginning of time. In the midst of boring everyday life, God showed up. Brought his kingdom into their life. As we look at Advent, it holds these mysterious truths that Christ's birth means the kingdom has begun and we are living in it. Yet Christ's return means the kingdom has yet to meet its culmination. Simeon and Anna stood at the threshold of this. They saw the beginning, and we get to live in that. We get to live in the continuation of this moving kingdom. Not merely for your personal salvation, but a kingdom that is transforming the world through righteousness and justice, changing lives, bringing peace on earth, real peace, lasting peace, and hope, a reminder that there is something out there that is bringing goodness, eternal goodness. He's not only the savior of individuals, he is the renewer of all creation, a good king. That's this mysterious kingdom of heaven, this gospel of the kingdom, this now and not yet. Friends, the world we live in is broken and fallen, sinful, but it is also embedded with the realm of a good king who is setting things right. Amen? Our lives are embedded with the goodness of a king who is renewing all things. And he sits on his throne. Jesus sits on his throne. The child sits on his throne. Having overcome all that is wrong, even overcoming death, which used to have the last word, now our King has the last word. Amen? Not even death has a say anymore. I'm going to invite up our worship team as we wrap up. Friends, I want us to hear this. And this isn't to downplay personal salvation, because that's so important. We have to commit our lives to Christ. But the gospel is more than a promise of personal salvation or a quiet invitation to allow Jesus in our heart. No, in fact, he is inviting you into his heart. The gospel is this announcement that God's long-anticipated kingdom has arrived in the person of Jesus. Simeon and Anna got to wait for that moment, not for their own redemption, but for the fulfillment of a promise God had set in motion before time itself. In Christ, the true King has come. With him, a kingdom that you get to be invited into. When you give your allegiance to that king, you step into a way of life shaped by his reign, marked by trust and justice and mercy and hope. That's what Advent is reminding us of, that God has come down, not only to save us, but to gather us, a people to live under his reign, under his loving rule. And that one day we will experience that joy that his kingdom will be fully revealed. No, we are not drifting. God's kingdom is unfolding in time. Would you guys stand? And as we go into worship, I want us to think on this. Let us recognize God's presence in the ordinary, like Simeon and Anna. Can we commit ourselves and our lives to Christ the King, to live with anticipation of that great joy that the King will return at the culmination of his great work? Let's worship.